hear from as many people as possible. We ask you to limit all questions to only one question per caller. If you're chosen, I will call your name and ask you to repeat your question for our live audience. We'll also be asking some polling questions later during the call where you'll get a chance to tell us what you think. And I'll explain that process to you in a few minutes. Now I'd like to turn it over to our panel for some opening remarks. Let me start with Commissioner Ken Welch. Commissioner, go ahead.
Thank you, Roger, and it's good to be here in the green light Pinellas room. We really appreciate everyone joining us here tonight, and I especially want to thank PSTA for hosting this call. You know, this is an exciting time for our community. We've been talking about the need to improve our transit and transportation system in the county for as long as I can remember. My father was a St. Pete City Council member back in the 80s when I was a mighty Lakewood Spartan. And even back then, they were talking about the need to advance our transportation system. And so now, this November 4th, for really the first time, our residents will have a chance to vote on a modern transit plan for our community. And that plan is Green Light Pinellas. It's the culmination of more than 30 years of analysis, community conversations, collaboration, and very detailed technical work. I think it's important to note that Green Light Pinellas is a plan developed in Pinellas for Pinellas County, based on the way we live, the way we travel, the locations we travel to, and really the unique needs of the citizens of Pinellas County and our visitors. We are the most densely populated and really the first built-out county in the state of Florida, and this plan is custom-made for the needs of Pinellas County. Just in summary, the Green Light Pinellas will first and foremost increase our bus service by 65%, reduce wait times between buses, extend our service hours into the evenings and weekends, and it will also build a light rail system to connect our most traveled parts of the county and really build a foundation for future connections to Tampa and other destinations in Florida. It's really about economic development, about jobs, and really about providing the kind of public transportation system that we need in Pinellas County for the future. So again, I want to thank everyone for joining the call. I'm passionate about the issue and would love to hear from the community on this. If you would press star 3, if you'd like to ask a question, we look forward to the conversation. Roger, before we start taking questions, I'm joined by a great leader in our community, Councilmember Darden Rice, who was an integral part of the planning for Green Light, and I'd like to pass this over now to Councilmember Rice.
Thanks, Ken. And I am passionate about Green Light Pinellas. There's nothing more foundational to improve our community than improving our transportation. And I believe this is incredibly important for the future, not only of my city, but the whole county. And Green Light is very important to our future growth. There are many elements of the Green Light Pinellas plan, but I'd like to mention a few. Construction of a light rail that will connect our major employment areas, connecting our residents in St. Pete to the Gateway, Carillon area, and then on to Clearwater. And this will give our commuter an option to get to work without traffic. Incidentally, the Gateway, Carillon, West Shore area is the second largest job sector area, second only to Atlanta. For St. Petersburg, we will work closely with PSTA to develop the new light rail stations that will be in our city. We see these as an opportunity to bring new development to our St. Pete residents. A green light will also mean express bus service, including new service between downtown St. Pete and the Tampa International Airport, as well as the Gateway area, West Shore and downtown Tampa. We'll also see new rapid bus service that will run 15 minutes all day and evening service running along the Central Avenue corridor from downtown to the beaches. And we'll see improved Central Avenue trolley with buses coming every 15 minutes throughout the day and evening. So the whole county will have increased bus service with limited stop routes running every 15 to 20 minutes along major corridors like 4th Street, 34th Street in St. Petersburg.
All right, thank you, Councilmember. We'll get to taking questions here shortly. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask our panel a question, press star 3 on your keypad to speak to an operator who'll get some basic information, and we'll get you in the queue. Before we take our first question, Brad, do you have any opening remarks?
Thanks, Roger. First of all, I'm very honored that our chair, PSPA Ken Welch, and Councilwoman Darden Rice, also on PSPA, have joined us. It's great to be here and get this information out. Of course, now I am the head of PSPA and the transit guy in the room, so I certainly want you all to ask questions as much as you can about buses here and there, as Darden was describing, and trains and this, that, and the other thing. But I have been spending my time mostly over the last 2 years traveling the county talking to residents about this plan. And I do, first and foremost, know that regardless of how much I might be interested in buses and trains, this is a vote in November. And one of the key elements, the key element, is it's the way in which public transportation is funded in our county. It is, the vote in November is for a vote for a 1% sales tax, but at the same time will eliminate the PSTA portion from our property tax bills, which is an average for across the county of about a 6% overall property tax reduction. Moving to a sales tax means transit is paid for by everyone who spends money in Pinellas County, including residents and visitors, not just property owners, visitors who often use our transit system. So when we're when we take the savings in property tax and weigh that against what someone will pay in sales tax, based on the median home value and median income, the average St. Petersburg homeowner will pay an additional net of $1.39 a month. Remember that the sales tax is not a sales tax on groceries or medicine. Offering a faster, reliable base and more convenient services to get people to work, to and from work, offer seniors options, tourists, ways to get to our great places in St. Petersburg, and spur countywide economic development. A year, Greenlight Pinellas can be a great deal for residents.
All right, let's get to our first question. And again, if you'd like to participate, press *3, and one of our operators will get your question taken down and we'll get you on the air. We're going to go to Eleanor first. Eleanor, go ahead.
Well, I really do approve of the method of financing, whatever it is we do. I am very much against a straight line from St. Peter's Clearwater. I've been here 50 years. I'm an 87-year-old lady, and I still drive during the daytime. But I'm worried about how I would ever want to get Clearwater for my lifelong needs. And the increase in bus service is tremendous because I'm facing the chance that I will soon have to die on buses for my activity. And I'm an active elderly lady, so why is it necessary? Except for maybe business people to have a rail line from St. Petersburg to Clearwater, and it's not necessarily good for business. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Eleanor, for your call, and I appreciate your comment. I hear that a lot. And what I'd like you and others to maybe rethink about this proposed rail line, yes, the two endpoints are in the two largest cities of our county, Clearwater and downtown St. Petersburg. But really, it'll act like two lines. The starting point of the rail system is in the largest job area. You mentioned, yes, trying to attract young business folks that can attract and get high-paying jobs, which are in the Carolina Gateway area more than any other part of the county. That's where the county job center will continue to grow. From Carillon, essentially two lines to our two biggest cities, one to downtown St. Petersburg and one through Largo over to Clearwater. Not many people are allowed to ride it the entire way, but when you to a job in Carillon, or there are 16 stations in between, that you might get off at one and go to another place. It will work very closely with the bus system that you say that, you understand. Yes, many more people ride, or even our seniors, age out of being able to drive a car. The whole network works together.
All right, we'll go next to Dave. Dave, what's your question tonight?
Yes, sir. My mother used to work with the police department, and they gave her a free fast ride buses. The only problem was to get the first bus out in the morning, she'd be like a half hour, 45 minutes late to work. Then the evening, she'd be cut out of work like an hour early, the last bus out in the evening. If we get this expanded out so the working folk will be able to ride it without missing work, or I don't know, where you're going. We have something like that eventually?
Dave, you're going to be really glad to hear that the Green Life Pinellas plant means that we will have buses running every 15 minutes on the county's major north-south and east-west corridors, which will reduce the wait time at bus stops, just like you mentioned. We know that we will get more riders as we improve our bus system and move from a hub-and-spoke system to a gridline system, and we will have increased stops, we'll have increased weekend service, we'll have later bus service later into the evenings during the work week that will make it easier for you to get back from your job. So I think the whole aspect of the 65% increase in services that Green Light Pinellas will deliver is exactly the type of increase in services that you're looking for.
Great question so far. And if you'd like to participate, press star 3 on your phone. Let's go next to Sherry. Go ahead.
Hi there. I just found out on the news about Seminole City Council and Mayor Leslie Water voting against Green Light Pinellas and supporting it. So I am wondering, what are we going to do to get those people to change their minds? Because I know of three buses that serve that area, and the main stop is Seminole Mall, 24, 58, and the 18. And the 58 needs to have a longer day on it and the weekends back on it. And all those buses need shorter waiting times, so we just figure out a way to get Seminole City Council and Mayor Les Waters back on track with this. And I know Leslie Waters personally. I've campaigned for her before for state legislature, and she's a very good person. So,
Sherry, you sound fired up. I'm going to ask the commissioner to respond.
Thank you so much, Sherry. We love passion. Thank you for the question. One of the great things about my process is it has been collaborative, and Seminole really was the first city that chose not to endorse the project. I think we have 11 or 12 cities, from Dunedin to Clearwater to St. Petersburg to Madeira Beach and others, who have endorsed the plan. Part of the problem with Seminole is that the Green Light supporters were not in the room when that vote was taken, and we intend to go back and continue to talk to the city council and the mayor. But at the same time, the redevelopment that's happening and being proposed in Seminole requires better transit support and better bus service. So we're having that conversation as we speak. The support for this really is impressive. It's a collaborative process since day one, and we'll back and talk to Seminole, but we're talking to folks throughout the rest of the county as well. We're getting a lot of support for this.
All right, before we continue with our panel, let's get to our first poll question. To participate, it's really easy. You use your telephone keypad to enter the number of your response. Commissioner, can you read our first question tonight?
Thank you, Roger. The first poll question is, what interests you most about the Green Light Pinellas plan? Please listen to all five options before choosing. Number one, express service to Tampa. Three, offering increased evening and weekend service throughout the county. Number four, shifting from a property tax funded system to a sales tax system. And number five, other.
All right, again, the first question was, what interests you most about the Green Light Pinellas plan? One, for express service to Tampa International. Two, bringing light rail to Pinellas County. Three, offering increased evening and weekend service throughout the county. Four, shifting from a property tax funded system to a sales tax funded system. Or five, other. Please record your vote now, and while you're voting, we'll take another question. And again, don't forget to press start if you'd like to ask a question. We're going to go next to Casey. Casey, you're up. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My name is Casey Shepherd. My wife and I are both lifelong residents of St. Petersburg, born and raised, and I just want to acknowledge the Welch family for all the contributions they've made to the community. Thank Darden Rice for her strong efforts in our community and her willingness to serve. My question is, a lot has been said about economic development and things of that nature, but would also appreciate y'all expanding a little bit on the benefits to our parks and recreation access. A lot of people in our community that do not access parks and recreation because of transportation difficulties, and how much that will improve the overall quality of life. Thank you.
Thanks, Casey. This is Darden, and that's a great question. And let me tell you about what Green Light Pinellas will mean for the ways it'll make our community and our quality of life better. It will make it easier to get to green spaces and parks. More city circulators will make it easier also to get shopping locations, medical appointments, and community services, and of course jobs. Services provided until midnight throughout much of the system will allow people to take transit for dining and other social activities in the evenings. As I mentioned before, we'll have increased weekend hours and regional service to the Tampa International Airport and to downtown Tampa for greater access to cultural and recreational activities. Convenient transportation to most community centers, downtown areas, performance halls, and museums in Pinellas County. Our improved bus system will allow people to connect with all of those kinds of events and activities. Importantly, there will be more evening and weekend DART, door-to-door transportation, for those riders who are unable to use the regular bus system due to disabilities under the American Disabilities Act. And lastly, this is something that's a favorite for me, is our bus will have Wi-Fi access on these vehicles for a more enjoyable ride, and that means that you'll be able to get caught up on your reading and do some extra work while you're commuting.
I just wanted to follow up with Darden. When you look at this plan, it brings so many benefits in addition to improving our system first and foremost. But one that stands out in my mind is the issue of jobs and connect folks with opportunities. Much of what we hear from folks in the community is I can apply for a job in North County or Mid-County, but I cannot get there. And once you get a person a job and a paycheck, it solves so many of the other problems that we're dealing with in our community. So the jobs impact, giving folks the opportunity to connect with jobs, as well as creating about 2,000 jobs a year, I think is a very important quality of life element of this program.
All right, great question. Here are the results of our first survey question. Again, we asked, what interests you most about Greenlight Pinellas plan? The 26% said express service to Tampa International Airport. That was number one. And a tie, and number two was bring light rail to Pinellas County and shifting from a property tax-funded system to a sales tax-funded system. We appreciate your participation. We'll have a couple more questions later in the call. And again, if you'd like to ask a question live, press star 3. Let's go next to Charles. Charles, thanks for holding. What's your question?
Yeah, you talk about the 1% sales tax. How much is that actually annually in Pinellas County? How many dollars?
Charles, thanks for your call. What we've done is we've looked at the IRS estimates, which you can go on the IRS website yourself, and they have a nice, simple sales tax calculator, because sales tax, you can deduct from your property, your income taxes to the feds. So right on there, the average homeowner of Pinellas County, or with the average income, the IRS estimates they pay just under $100. I think it's around $90 a year for a 1% sales tax. And that's for a family, the average family in Pinellas County.
Let's go next to Deb. What's your question?
Yes, I'd like to know, since you're planning on using sales tax money to fund this, what do you do when it has to be maintained? And how many jobs are you going to be killing because people will not be buying as much and retailers will have to let people off? This is not New York City or Boston where the cities are laid out that way. There's going to be no place for people to go except to get and walk to wherever it is they have to go. So my vote is no for this. And I can't see any.
Thank you, Deb. I hope your mind is still open since you were asking a question. In terms of where the sales tax will come from, I think that's important. We didn't see the effect that you anticipated when folks voted for the Penny Pinellas, and they've done that 3 times over 3 decades. That was also a 1% sales tax. It's important to note, and I heard this on a newscast the other night, that this tax is capped at $5,000. And so if you're buying a car in Pinellas, the cost to buy that car in Hillsborough County is not 1% more, it's $50 more. And most of us can negotiate $50 on any car that we buy, not to mention the fuel for driving to Hillsborough. So it's not going to have the impact in terms of hurting businesses that you asserted. We have business support from the state chamber and from other business entities around Pinellas County because, number one, it gives us jobs, it gives us economic development, and it helps our competitive position for folks that are looking for places to bring their businesses. We're the only metro in the nation that hasn't advanced our transit system. We're at a disadvantage. So I do agree this is going to have the impact we anticipate. Hillsborough County today, as a matter of fact, said that they will move forward with the 2016
regarding the equipment, what kind of equipment are we talking about when we use the term light rail?
Great question, Bruce. You see this in other cities like Dallas and then Charlotte, Minneapolis, other places. There's actually 28 systems like we're proposing in Pinellas County. Light rail, the kind of equipment we'll be using is modern rail equipment that will operate in some areas on its own right of way, its own track, and will get to a speed of close to 60 miles an hour, especially as it travels up the center of I-275 from down St. Petersburg up to the biggest job area, the Carillon. Then in other areas, it'll operate in the middle of the existing road and have closer spaced stops. So it'll operate from stop to stop. Stations will have park and ride lots, so you can drive your car and park.
Many folks as we possibly can. John, you're next. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. I'm new to Florida and Pinellas County. I'm from Long Island, New York. I'm going to just make a comment. I don't have a question. It's a no-brainer. We need this transportation in this
really up and running.
Thank God, see, this is Darden, and one of the things that will happen right away after the referendum passes is we're going to see our bus service increase immediately. We're going to provide 65% more bus service on the weekends and evenings. That's one thing right off the bat. Brad, do you want to address a specific issue of when we can start building light rail?
Yeah, and the vote is this November. The first thing, we're actually starting to plan now for launching our new service from St. Petersburg, downtown St. Pete, to Tampa Airport for the first time. That'll happen hopefully within a few months after the ADA accessible. And so by having more frequent regular bus service and longer hours, especially on the weekends, we think more and more folks with disabilities will be able to utilize the regular PSTA services. And you don't have to call ahead. You just get into the bus stop. A bus will be coming much more frequently than it does today. For our DART services, which are specifically for those who cannot ride the regular public transit, that will be expanded as well. Later night services, services door-to-door on weekends. Much more than we have today. Many people who have a disability will be able to use the transportation system in a better way to get to where they need to go.
All right, let's go next to Ada. Ada, go ahead with your question.
and I'm a native Floridian, a native St. Petersburg. My question is, I heard you talk about the North Side Central, but what about people who live on the South Side, 54th, and these areas that may not have transportation to get to jobs or you know, whatever? And what do we do? And another question, we'll also be paying taxes.
Thank you, Ada. That's a great question. This is Kendall, and I'm a Southside as well all my life. I think it's important to remember a lot of the focus has been on the rail element, and as Brad said, rail is really going to be an 8-9 year process to get that developed. What we're going to see is the first year or two better bus service countywide, including the Southside. That means routes running. We're adding a route through the Deuce on 22nd Street. We're adding routes that will mean less wait times. You won't have to wait an hour for the next bus. They'll run later at night, and they'll run on weekends as well. And that is countywide, including South St. Pete. Now, one of the things that we haven't talked about is what happens if we don't get this new funding source. For the last 3 or 4 years, we've been trying to balance our budget, and we have had to cut routes. And I specifically remember folks coming that took a route on 62nd Avenue out to the beaches to help support our tourism out there, saying, please don't cut our routes. This is the only way that we have to get to work. So a big part of this is maintaining the service that we have, not having to cut additional bus service or raise fares. So that's the other part we need to remember. But first and foremost, you're going to see increased bus service countywide, including South St. Pete. Thank you so much, Ada.
All right, great. Let's go next to Cindy. Cindy, go ahead.
Yes, my question is, what about Tyrone area and Seminole? And are you guys going to bring back dial-a-bus where if you're out late, that they call the bus and they'll come to the area to pick you up? Or are you going to have extended hours all the way home?
Great question, Cindy. Thank you. Yes, actually, we have our DART service for people with disabilities. We also have these new connector routes, which I think operate in that manner, where you can either catch it at a regular bus stop, or if you go ahead, it will deviate off into your neighborhood and pick up. And especially in the Tyrone and Seminole areas, we are looking for at that sort of operation. That'll be a circulator system in the area to get you, say, for veterans to the VA hospital or around the Tyrone Square Mall area.
I just want to piggyback, Brad. You see a lot of these maps that actually show the improvements to bus service if you go to greenlightpinellas.com, and those maps are there. They show you bus routes, they show you the rail, and you can really get a lot of information if you visit that site.
Great. Again, that's www.greenlightpinellas.com. Let's go to Joseph next. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering if this was going to change the bus rates. And how soon do you see that in effect?
So, I think Commissioner Welch said the plan, this Green Light Pinellas plan, will actually keep bus rates probably more constant if their referendum is not successful. Right now, the cost for IPSTA, the base cost is $2, and is planned to be the same, whether you're on rail, bus, or a circulator, or anything. And then, number two, certainly that will increase over time with inflation, but there's no plan to increase fares or change the fares past the Green Light Pinellas.
All right, next question will come from Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, are you
development and planning has been an integral part of this. In fact, just today, the Board of County Commissioners received an update from the Pinellas Planning Council. They are working on station area plans for all 16 of the stations along that route. As well, we are merging the MTO, which is a transit. PC, which is a planning organization, so they'll handle both of those issues for the county. So transit-oriented development and integrating the planning so it supports transit throughout the county is an integral part of that plan. That's a great question. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Chris, I'd also like to add that affordable housing will be a strong component to transit-oriented development. That's a question that we get a lot, and it's something that will be included with the plans as we go forward.
All right, good questions. Again, star 3, if you'd like to get a question in the queue, star 3, and our operator will take down some quick information. And let's go next to Betty. Betty, go ahead.
Hi. I do have a question, but I just wanted to say I drove from 38th Avenue North to Carolina Freight once every morning, and it felt like my life. Danger like almost every day, but so anything that can get up there without having to use that 235 is good. But my question was, I work at home now, by the way, so I don't have to come up there. But with increased bus service, are they going to be looking into getting any electric buses? I'm just concerned about more buses on the road and the environmental impact on that.
Betty, like you, I'm concerned about the fuel economy and pollution produced by our transportation sector. It'll be good to know that PSTA has been a leader in implementing. I believe we have almost 47 hybrid electric buses. They get greater fuel economy due to the technology that's rolling on the roads. And although the buses are a little bit more expensive in upfront cost, we see savings in the long run because we are spending less money on fuel and less money on replacement and maintenance. So hybrid buses will continue to be a big part of the profile of our future bus purchases.
All right, let's go next to Maura. Go right ahead, your question.
Hi there. I'm also in Long Island, so I've gotten used to using buses and trains and all going into the city and such. My concern is you've tied together buses and trains together. I can agree going over to Tampa, great, but don't pull it here in St. Pete. I've seen it happen in New York when they put in trains and such, where areas they went in, when they just dropped because they had to take down houses. People no longer wanted to live there. And it just was a horrible effect. I use buses because I don't have permission to drive. I do home health care, which means I go all over the place here in the city. I've even gone up to Clearwater to treat. And that is a lot of energy, and buses do not run frequently enough. We need more, but we don't need a train.
Well, thank you so much for your question. I think your point is well taken. The good thing about what we did here in Pinellas County is that we're concentrating the density on corridors that are already there to support higher density, and that will preserve our more density neighborhoods. We're not going to add density in neighborhoods that don't have it right now. We're going to add it along
telephone keypad to enter the number of your response. Brad, would you read our last polling question, please?
Sure, Roger. So here's the final poll question. It sounds familiar because it's the same one that Darden recently asked. We want to see if the call has helped provide useful information about Greenlight Pinellas. After the discussion this evening and learning more about the plan, do you feel you have enough information to make informed decisions on Greenlight Pinellas? Please listen to the options. Press 1 for yes, I feel like I understand Greenlight Pinellas, or press 2, no, I would like to continue to learn more about Greenlight Pinellas.
All right, again, the final question after the discussion this evening, learning more about the plan, do you feel you have enough information to make an informed decision on Greenlight Pinellas? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. If you'll record your vote now, I'll share the results with you in just a moment. And while you're voting, we're going to get back to questions. Vince, go ahead.
Hey, my name is Vincent. I'm a frequent rider. Our family sold vehicles so I could ride a bus to work. And my question, first question would be, we speak of enhanced service earlier and later. Route 19, could we have an idea of what time we would begin the service on Route 19? Many people that I ride with, I ride at 5:15 in the morning.
A third of the total tax for using our infrastructure, roads, and buses. It means that it's not just property owners that pay for the PSTA ad valorem taxes to support mass transit, but it means that everybody will be chipping in to help support these important necessary changes and improvements. So I think that you'll be pleased that, that this isn't going to fall on a burden for any particular sector. It's something that we all care together.
And just to add to that, the current PSTA property tax is not collected in our southern portion of the beaches in Happy Beach and Treasure Island. And yet this sales tax will be countywide. Airport, the rail over to the airport in downtown Tampa. So all that is in the work, and we do hope to model our system very much after the Denver and others that you mentioned.
But I'm going to ask just a follow up. I assume the money raised here will help leverage federal funds as well and make your dollars go even further?
That's right. That's right. You talked about all the private money. We are certainly looking at that. The system that we have developed, we developed a long-term financial plan that does leverage the local sales tax and makes us more competitive for federal and state grants that already exist today.
All right, let's go next to Brent. Brent, go ahead.
Yes, I just think this is phenomenal, and I would like to find out what kind of plans there are in the future to connect us to Lakeland and Orlando. I know there was a plan to do that, and someone had voted it down. And I'd like to know what type of future plans, because this is, I mean, if we don't realize that this has to happen, then we have our heads in the sand, in my opinion.
Brent, thank you so much for your question and for your technical terms. I do want to say the good news here is that both sides of the bay are working together. We understand we need to be able to get folks over to West Shore, folks from Harbor need to be able to get to our beaches and to our downtown centers. Centers, one in the West Shore area in downtown Tampa, that will be the hub, so to speak. TIA will connect the West Shore intermodal. So you could hop on transit in Pinellas County and get to TIA or get to West Shore, ultimately get to downtown Tampa, U.S. other expenses. So in terms of our personal economy, having those transportation options so that you don't have...
Honorable Mayor, Ken Wolf, give my respects, my regards to working with the family. Greenlight Pinellas plan, my goodness. Why do people... resist change? That's my question. And that map that Ken has here, it has and it's starting to grow and to mingle with other counties. But resisting change, I've seen it in the past, it's not going to work. We must move forward. Green light is a go.
I love it. Thank you so much, Reverend Green, for the words of wisdom. I think part of it is fear. Folks fear change, and unfortunately we're seeing a lot of misinformation lately from outside groups who want to instill fear in people. A roll call that went out last week said that this plan would cost a household $4,000 per household. That's just a blatant falsehood. So we need to get the facts out about what the plan is, the benefits of it, and folks understand what this plan is about. It's a fair plan.
Is
and remind people, and you all can get the word out. Again, it's a vote this November for a sales tax to replace the property tax. And again, the sales tax is $0 on groceries and zero on medicine. So definitely go to greenlightpinellas.com and learn more about it and just understand how important this vote is this coming November.
All right. Thank you, Brad. We are sorry if we didn't get to your question tonight, but as Brad mentioned, you can always get more information at greenlightpinellas.com, and you can leave a message or a comment at the end of the call by just staying on the line. So on behalf of PSPA and our panel, thank you and have a good evening.
RadioSafety.com.